Go to 1 Kings chapter 1 and 2, if you would. 1 Kings in the Old Testament, if you have your tablet or your phone or your text with you. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, we have Bibles in the back. If you'll slip up your hand, there will be others from Grace Christian Center who will be happy to get one for you if you need a Bible, all right? The scriptures won't all be up here. The references will be up here. I want to talk this morning about choices. Stay right here for just a few minutes, Pat, please. I want to talk about choices. How many know that life is a series of choices? You each have choices to make. We make choices from the moment we get up until the moment we go to sleep. You all made a choice to be here this morning. I'm grateful that you made that choice. If you're a guest with us, we are grateful that you're here with us this morning. And we honor that choice. And we hope that by the time we're done here this morning, you will have known you've been in the presence of God and be strengthened in His presence. Choices. You understand, casual football players don't win championships. Pretty understandable point. Right now, we've seen on the news, if you've been watching the Seattle Seahawks, spring training has been taking place. And just this week, you had them, Coach Pete, say, well, they're going to be gone now for what? I think about 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And he says, I hope they come back in incredible physical condition. Now remember, you have the combine in the fall. Let's go back, Pat. That's why I said that. But you have the combine. Now I've got a couple, there we go. I have a couple of ladies in here that are playing different sports as well, because the intensity, it doesn't matter what the game is. If you're going to win at that game, you're going to be intense. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? The upper left and bottom right are at the Combine, a February event, where they get to show their stuff in front of different coaches. Some people agree with the Combine's necessity. Other people think that it's an artificial thing, that what we ought to do is just watch them all as they play the game. You also have the draft for the NFL, speaking specifically, again, about football. But players, men and women, work with intensity if they're going to produce the desired result. It's not just gathering on a team. It's not just getting a contract to be on a team. It's not just sitting on the bench on a team. There's a desired result. And the reason the coaches and people who are given to the personnel to gather together the team, the reason they combine them all is so there is a desired end. And that end is that they win. The pennant, the race, whatever it might be, they want to win. How many want to win in the game of life? How many know that in Jesus you win in time and eternity? Once you've died here, you will go into heaven or into hell if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ. Let's say it straight. Give your life to Jesus if you haven't today, so you know when your life ends, you know exactly where you're going. But there is life to walk every single day. But I have to say what I think you probably already know, because we've said it many times. Casual Christianity won't accomplish the win. Say amen or oh no.
Amen.
Coach Pete Carroll. Let's go back to that. Gotta love the intensity in Coach Pete, even if you don't like him. You gotta love the intensity. Every time he runs up and down the sidelines, you have the broadcasters completely saying, he's the oldest coach in the NFL. Doesn't make one bit of difference. This is one intense guy. And when they make a great play, don't you love how he's high-fiving and jumping and patting everybody on the back? And isn't that what it's like in the body of Christ? You did great! Great sharing this morning. You high five one another. You overcome temptation and you get through the difficulty and you high five one another. It's a team and the coach, Jesus himself and the Holy Spirit cheering for you, saying, good job, great job. We've got a whole bunch of people cheering us on in the presence of the Lord. Casual Christianity will never produce the fruit of great revival. Read that with me, would you please? Casual Christianity will never produce the fruit of great revival. I want Jesus on my terms. I've made God in my image. And the Bible may have something to say to me upon occasion. How many know that's never going to get you where Jesus wants to get you? But there's a lot of life and living right there in those words. That's where a lot of people live. Casual Christianity will never bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So I have to ask you this morning, what is it you want? What is it you personally, sitting here this morning, want? I'm not trying to be confrontive. I'm asking of myself the same questions. What is it that you want? Well, here's my answer. Joshua 24, verse 15 says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Say it with me. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, I don't get it all. Sometimes it's just beyond me. Isn't that a good place to be? It means I get to keep growing so I understand him better and grow in him better. But we make decisions every day like Solomon. And I'm going to hang my hat on Solomon this morning because I think there's some lessons from Solomon's life that I want to bring that I think will be important for us as we move forward. Listen carefully as we talk about Solomon makes choices and his choices make Solomon. Say it with me. Solomon makes choices. His choices make Solomon. David was called the man after God's own heart. Acts 13, 21 and 22 quotes this. I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. And you realize David was not a perfect man. But he knew how to repent when he blew it. And he knew how to have a heart fixed on the Lord. And that's what God's looking for. We know we're not perfect in this place. But how many are growing? Let's see it. Come on, show of hands. How many are growing in your relationship with Jesus? You bet. Put them all up there. Every finger, every toe. We're growing. We're going. David was promised that he would always have his offspring on the throne if they would choose God. How many know that didn't happen? Yeah. Now, we come in a time of history, if we'll go back with me on this journey, where it's time for David, after 40 years of being king, 7 years in Judah, 33 years or in all of Israel, right? Yeah. It's time for him to pass that throne on to Solomon. David says, there are four things, Solomon, you must do. If the kingdom's going to be made right for you to reign effectively, Solomon, I need for you to take care of four people. There are four things. And his choices are made and help make Solomon. Four will lead to a fifth. Number one, Adonijah. Adonijah. This deals with kingship in 1 Kings chapter 2, 13 through 25. You ever hear the name Absalom? Absalom was an older brother, and Absalom wanted to take the throne. He wanted to rule, and he wanted to reign in David's place. David had to run, remember? It was a terrible time for David, but David didn't discipline his sons. It's Father's Day. How many of you think, as you look back over your life, you might have done a few things better for your children? Man, if you're anything like me, you go, well, happy Father's Day. Well, I love my kids, and I'm glad and delighted and honored to be their father. But I know there are areas I could have done better. But in the scripture, we see glaringly David's weaknesses in not disciplining his children. Absalom was one of those. And Absalom was killed, and those who were with David took authority over that situation, and Absalom was off the scene. He didn't take the throne. But a little later, his brother, his half-brother, if you will, Adonijah rises up. It's another son of David, a good-looking kid, good-looking on the outside. But he felt the right. He was now the oldest left of the sons, and he felt he had the right to be in charge because he was David's son. And he rises up in rebellion in his spirit. You remember the story. He had 50 people run ahead of his chariot. You think he's making an egotistical statement? He's not in charge, but he wants everybody in Israel to know he's in charge. That's kind of like the having the biggest Hummer going down the street, right? I got the stretch Hummer. You all live in Volkswagen land, and I got a stretch Hummer. So what we're dealing with here is a man who has 50 people running in front of him. He is demanding the throne. But this time, if you recall your history, David's general, Joab, helps Adonijah. He didn't until then. One of David's priests, a man of counsel, was Abiathar. And Abiathar comes to help him. But God has other plans. How many remember the story? You're tracking with me. All right? So if you want to go to your Bibles as you leave today and go home, study this out, you'll see all of these in great detail. Solomon is set in. Instead of Adonijah, you have Solomon coming. Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet and others rise up after they hear that Adonijah is wanting to set himself on the throne. And they say, look, David, you're an old man. You better do something about this quickly. And he says, you set my son Solomon on my donkey back. You take him to this place. You anoint him with oil and you cheer for him. And he is on the throne today. And that's exactly what happened. Adonijah's over here with those he's gathered together. And all of a sudden, the roar of the crowd in the town starts ascending. And people say, what's going on? What's the uproar? Are we being attacked? And somebody comes running and says, oh no, it's not attack. This is setting in of Solomon on the throne. And they realize they're at a party with the other guy who was going to set himself in, and that didn't happen. Now in those days, how many can tell me what you think might happen to those people at that party? That's a real buzzkill party now, don't you think? So they all flee. Adonijah goes and runs in and asks for mercy. But what happens is the interior heart of this young man is not dealt with. Y'all remember the story?
Yeah.
So, as David was an old man, he got cold, very, very, very cold. And so at night, they sought out a young virgin named Abishag, who would lay by his side and keep him warm, and he had no sexual relations with her. She was not a concubine, but she kept him warm. And after David passes, Adonijah, who has competed for the throne and lost, comes in and sees Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. She doesn't trust him at first. She says, hark, who goes there? Don't say that. That's just the old movies. He says, what do you want? And he kind of sneaks in like a snake, if you will, his purposes. My heart is pure. I'm really a nice guy. I'm a good-looking kid in Israel. All I want you to do, Bathsheba, is ask King Solomon if I can please have Abishag as my wife. And she falls for it. How many know that Solomon doesn't? Solomon looks at this and he erupts in fury. And he says, this man has spoken this against his own life. He still has every intent and every desire and every rebellious spirit to demand the throne. You give him Abishag, it's proof he's the older brother. It's proof that he really is the one who inherits the possessions of David, including this woman. And it cost him his life. So what we're dealing with is kingship. And what I'm here to say to every person in this room is you have to deal with the issue of kingship in your life. Who do you want to have on your throne? Choose who is on your throne. As for me and my house, it is Jesus. Jesus. Passionately. Get rid of anything and everything that wants to take the throne of Jesus out of your life. Decide who is your king and get rid of any imposter. Someone say amen or oh no.
Amen.
It all boils down to dealing with four people as he starts his rulership. And this one deals with who's going to be king. and he had to deal with the usurper. You do understand that there is spiritual warfare in life, and the usurper wants to take authority. He wants to take the rulership of your life out of the hands of Jesus and twist you in a wrong direction. Thank God Jesus won the victory. Amen? Amen. So we make a choice. Number two, Abiathar. Abiathar was the former priest, and this has to do with counsel. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 26 and 27, if you're taking notes. One of David's lead counsel in the past, his lead counselor, or one of them, the Bible tells us that he would carry the ark of God before David. He was from the tribe of Eli. How many know the Eli tribe was superseded by a new tribe? You recall that? But what he'd done is he'd carried that ark, and now he had made it through the other transitions, but now Abiathar wants a usurper. He is supporting the other man who wanted the throne. And so he's not the right counsel, but the wrong choice. I'm just here to tell you, how many realize there are a lot of voices talking today? There are a lot of voices. Turn on your TV. Turn on your radio. You can hear lots of voices. Lots of spiritual voices. I don't want anything to do with church, but I'm a spiritual person. Well, wait a minute. Jesus said, I will build my church. I love my church. I love my people. You go, oh, well, you know, I don't want to go to church. There's so many imperfect people. Yeah. Welcome to a whole world full of imperfect people, right? You know, Bob Murphy used to always say, I guess I don't need to go there. Well, his comment was, if you're looking for the perfect church, as soon as you get there, it's no longer perfect. So, ouch, right? So, the point is, it's God works through his people. And God wants a family to come together, and we all keep walking with him. But this deals with counsel. What are you allowing into your ears, to your heart, that becomes of spiritual counsel to your soul? Or I read the Bible right along with the Quran. Or I read the Bible right along with the Book of Mormon. And it's a nice philosophy, this Christian stuff. Don't expect to ever ascertain truth according to God's Word that really is truth if he's just one of many mixed in. So what counsel, what voice, who's your lead counsel? Who gives you counsel and input? Who are you going to allow to speak into your heart and into your life? Many drink from a lot of different streams. I've watched it over the years. I like this one, this one, this one, this one. I drink from 50 streams. What's the clear word to you? I have no idea. I'm totally confused. Because it's too much. To what voice do you listen? Choose God's voice. Heed the Holy Spirit's counsel. Amen. You got to deal with Abiathar in your life, Solomon. Number three, you got to deal with Joab. And this deals with authority. General Joab, do you know he was David's nephew? And he was cousin to a bunch of David's sons, of course. And Joab, well, he would speak right up to David. And sometimes he was right. And sometimes he's the guy who got the king back on track when it came time to doing the assessment of people and what do you call that? We have one of these coming up. Thank you, a census. When David wanted to number the people and all of that, sometimes it was Joab who said, you're really being a dork. You're going the wrong way. That's today's English version. You're going the wrong way. And he would stop him. Bottom line? Job was an absolutely murderous, wicked man. And so David says, you got to deal with the issue of authority in your life. You got to deal with who's really the commander of your life. Remember when Joshua was getting ready to take the people into the new land, and he's getting ready, and he's been prayer and preparation, and all of a sudden somebody walks up to him and he says, who are you? And the one says, I'm the commander of the Lord of hosts. I'm in charge of this army. And what did he do? He took off his shoes, he knelt down, he fell down before him. And the Lord says, who's in command in your soul? You see, a violent murderer was for now. He had made it through a lot of years. A lot of people had risen up against David, but this time he's supporting a usurper. And the wrong commander in charge of your soul wants to set up the wrong person on the throne of your heart. Murderous. Demonic. The devil and his demons must be put down. Now, thank God Jesus won the warfare. But we have to practically take authority over those things that come and attack us. Wage warfare from victory, for victory, in victory, because Jesus has given you the victory. But wage warfare you must. Come on, wage warfare you must. You can't just allow demonic thoughts to come through your heart and through your mind and you'll hold on to them. You know when people murder each other, don't you? Unless it's a flight of fancy or fury. They get a wicked thought inside. They get bitter. They get full of rage. It twists. And then it becomes a murderous thought that is carried out in action. The Bible says, don't let a root of bitterness spring up. It defiles many. Get rid of it. We have foot washing and prayer and strength for one another in the body of Christ. We come, get things right with each other. We don't just break relationship, but we stand together and get things right. Amen. Somebody said amen or oh no.
Amen.
How many would rather keep things right in the family of God? Sure, but you got to get rid of compromise. Compromise with sin leaves you weak and without victory. You understand, right? It's hard to stand up against temptation. If you got a back door open and you're letting the devil in, maybe nobody else knows and maybe just you in that private area. But as long as that door is open, it's hard to have victory. Come on. You're all looking at me like you're so holy. I never have a tempting thought in my whole life. But we do sometimes. Got to shut the door. David and Julianne Koblen, some of you know them, Sherry's youngest daughter and her husband, pastors, wonderful teachers, been to Uganda and helped starting churches. They started a church in Russia that still goes today, fantastic church, wonderful nationals in charge. They came back from Uganda and one of their songs that they'd sing in the Ugandan church was, shut the door, keep out the devil. How many remember that song, you know, that song? You got to shut the door and keep the devil out. Amen. Who's going to be in command in our lives? Our sins, the Bible says, separate us from God. And that's why we take care of them. No personal strength if we're yielding. By the way, a simple point. I know it's kind of quiet in here because we're all doing spiritual dipstick time, right? How am I doing in that area? But remember a point here that's really important. Joab refused to leave the tabernacle. Remember? Solomon says to his soldier, bring him out and kill him. And Joab says, oh, no, I ain't leaving here. And Solomon says, okay, kill him there. Do you realize when you come into the presence of God, the devil must flee? When you come in and worship in the presence of God, the devil has no place and no authority in this room. There is authority in the name of Jesus and in the blood of Jesus. We raise our hands to praise him and magnify him. And the devil says, I cannot stand to live in the presence of worship. Joab was cut down in the temple. And God had command established correctly. In our lives, we got to have the right commander on the throne, don't we?
Yes.
The right commander, dealing with authority. I've had times, I'm just going to be honest enough to say it. I've had times where I wanted to do my thing my way. I did it my way. The great Christian anthem. Said tongue in cheek. And Jesus worked with me and said, you got to repent, boy. Because I didn't bring you in to do this your way. I got a plan and purpose, but you got to do it my way. He's in command. Choose Jesus, his righteousness. You have the power of the Holy Spirit than fighting your battles. Stay in his hands. We're saved by grace. Come on, Kev. We don't need all this stuff. We're saved by grace. I can do anything and it's all fine. That's not what the Bible teaches. Yes, we are saved by grace and we cooperate with his grace as we are conformed to his image and made in his fashion. We're not going to perfect ourselves by our works, but we are called to cooperate with him. Turn to each other and say, let's both cooperate a little more. Who are you going to have in control in the army of God in your life on your throne? Choose Jesus as your commander. One more, Shimei. Shimei, you probably recall when Absalom was trying to take over the throne, David had to flee. But alongside the road, one of Saul's offspring, Shimei, was cursing at him the entire time, throwing rocks at him, yelling at him, cursing him like a dead dog. And now Saul, my family is going to get the throne back, you wicked man. And David's already hurting. And I want you to know that the devil loves to throw in lots of accusation and shame right in the time when you're hurting the most. So who are you going to listen to? You have to shut out that voice, because the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says, accuses them night and day, day and night. But Jesus cast him down. Amen. I said, but Jesus cast him down. Amen. Come on, church, come alive. I said, but Jesus cast him down. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelations, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But the accusation comes. The accusation comes. So the question is, what voice you're going to listen to? What's the voice to which you pay heed? The accuser. The tempter. Has God really said? You can do anything you want. You don't have to worry about that. You're already all forgiven. Just enough twist to really get you in trouble. Don't pay heed to that voice. Revelation 12:10 appeared, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Thank you, Lord. Choose to listen to God's voice and his truth. Four to deal with. And he did. But there was a fifth choice Solomon had to make. And I think this is imperative for us to understand. The most important choice. You can make sure all of the exterior usurpers are cut down. You can deal with everything on the outside. But the most important thing is what's on the inside. 1 Kings 3 was in verses 1 and 2. Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And you understand in the Bible that Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh made a treaty. You understand, excuse me, my voice is still changing. You understand that when you give your life to Jesus, there is no treaty to be made with the world. It doesn't mean you don't love people. See this in a spiritually significant way. You're not going to be able to make a treaty to the world. You're not going to be able to keep one foot in the kingdom of God and then one foot in outer darkness. You're not going to be able to say, I want to come to church, smile and sing my songs, and then I want to go out and live my own way and do my own thing and turn my back on the Lord all week long. Jesus says, come on, that's not the way to live. It's whole hog. It's wholehearted. All the way in. I'm all in. How about you this morning? But Solomon made a treaty. Let's just get along. And he married Pharaoh's daughter. And we read not too many chapters later that he had how many concubines and how many wives. And his many wives turned his heart from God. Ladies, this is nothing against you. That's not what this is about. This is about a man who opened a door and played games with the world. And he said, I can overcome. I'll be just fine. I can do whatever I want. I'll be just fine. I'm going to deal with all those four people. And he did a good job dealing with him, man. I'm not critical of him. I'm not critical of him anyway. My heart breaks for what happened. But he didn't deal with the inside. And this then became multiplied and magnified, and this man ended up costing the kingdom Because he didn't want to deal with the inside. You know, in the New Testament, the Bible says believers should marry believers. You know why? What fellowship does light have to do with darkness? The most important part of your life is Jesus. Yeah. Now, if you're married to someone who's not saved, pray for them, love them. That's okay, great. But if you are here today coming to see me, Pastor Kevin, for counsel who I should marry, I'm going to tell you, you marry somebody of like precious faith in Jesus Christ. Because the most important part of your life is your walk with Jesus. And the most important part of your life is your love for the Word of God and your love for the family of God. And you want to be with somebody who's going to help you walk after the Lord. And when you're in trouble, you don't want Job's wife saying, "Why don't you go ahead and curse God and die? Thanks, honey, for the encouragement." No, you want somebody who's going to say, "Honey, keep trusting. We're going to get through this. Jesus is still on the throne. He's still God. He's still in charge." Come on, anybody in this room ever been through a difficult time? Yeah. Cancer? Problems? Job? People just treating you badly? Your neighbors? All of a sudden people turning on your family? And at that moment, you need the person you stand most with to be most in faith in Jesus with you. Who says, "We're going to make this by the grace of God." Mm-hmm. Now, some don't have that. I'm not bashing that this morning. I'm simply saying, look at what happened with Solomon. He did great on the four. On the fifth, he said, "Okay, I'm doing okay. I think I can do this one how I'd like to." Now we understand culturally, contextually, that's how they made peace with other nations. Lots of times, that's what they did. They married the daughter of this person, married the daughter of that one, maybe had several, and I got along with all my neighbor countries. That's not what God said to do. In the scripture, that's not what God's instruction was to them. And it went from there. So he made a treaty. Then he brought her into the city of David till he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. Now, if you were with us last week, Pastor Chris spoke a powerful message about Solomon's prayer, and his prayer was a beautiful prayer. But he opened a door for things to go badly. Choose who really has your heart. Who are you really letting inside? You can deal all day long with decisions and choices, and we have them to make. You can deal with the externals all day long. But what makes the difference is, this is where it really acts, the action really is. Lord, I want to please you in my inward parts. I know I'm not there yet. How about you? Oh God, I'm surprised all the time by that lousy attitude that springs up. Yep. I'm surprised when somebody cuts me off in traffic that my first response is, "Oh, bless you." It's not that. Some of you have heard the story. I was coming out a week away, and we were coming down to catch the ferry at Kingston Edmonds, Kingston Ferry, and it was a Saturday, and boy, we just zipped right past that line of traffic that was waiting. You know what? Come on, anybody, you look at me, you've all been there. The line was backed up to South Seattle. I'm given to a little hyperbole. Anyway, So at one point, I'm driving down, I go, "I missed it." And all of a sudden there's this wide gap between this car here and this car up here. Guess what I did? Dove right in. I dove right in. And you go, "Man, thank God." And then the horn started. And and I'm kind of going. And the conviction's starting. Come on, you ever been there? "Oh, dopey, you just did something really stupid. You really..." Oh, it's not like they're not going to see you now. You ever wanted to disappear? Yeah. And we're saying, no, it's okay, just hang on. Next thing I know, I got a guy knocking on my window. And there's so much road rage nowadays. You know, I can quote all day long, soft answer turns away wrath. I'm the kind of guy that I don't cotton real well when people get in my face, but you know, I don't have a leg to stand on right now anyway. So I'm so sorry. I was out of town. And I don't care, man. He up one side, down the other, every swear word in the book. And I don't know too many mule skinners, but I think he was one. And he walks away, and I turned you in. And boy, you know, you just have visions of I'm going to San Quentin. You know. And and I'm sitting there going, and I turned to Sherry. You know, at that moment, I honestly, it was the grace of God, because usually my tendency would be to say, oh yeah, well, but I had no leg to stand on. And I turned to Sherry and I said, you know, we're wrong. Yeah, honey, we're wrong. Just, you know, anyway, we're wrong. And the Holy Spirit keeps speaking that phrase in my heart, you're wrong. So I sit there a few minutes more, and this guy, I'm looking up in the mirror, is he coming back with a pistol, you know? I mean, and the Holy Spirit keeps saying, didn't you hear me? You're wrong. Finally, I turned to Sherry, I said, you know, I don't care if it takes me 3 extra hours, I'm wrong. So I got out, and I didn't get out. We drove out, went down the street, turned around, went back to South Seattle to catch the ferry. And that's when the conviction finally lifted. And all I could say was, Lord, forgive me. I was wrong. I did a doofus thing. I my intention might have been pure. Might have been pure. It didn't matter. I was wrong. And, you know, as we go, we're going to keep growing, aren't we?
Yes. Yes. Too true.
If we want to walk with Jesus, we're going to keep going. As for me and my house, I want to serve the Lord. So, you and I, you and me, you know what we get to do? Make choice. Would you stand with me, please? Musicians, will you come? I was at graduation for my grandson yesterday. And there was one speaker who had graduated from the same school 6 years earlier, and he was now on the faculty there, and he told a story of his grandfather. Give me 2 more minutes, and I'm done with the message.
Does that mean 2 more hours?
No, sir. You and I'll talk later. No. And he said, you know, 6 years ago when I graduated, my grandfather had been in town, and I watched him pull his car away, and I never realized it would be the last time I'd ever see him. But before he pulled away, he looked at me and he said, and what are the 12 words I've always taught you? And the kid looked up at his grandfather and he said, plan your work, work your plan, follow through. And the most spiritual part of my day yesterday was that young man who was a teacher at that school saying those words. We've heard them before, but you know what we're doing here today is we make choice. Plan your walk with Jesus. Walk your plan with Jesus and follow through. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be together this morning. We pray, Lord, that this day our lives will change more than ever before into your image and purpose. We thank you that you've got great things in mind for each one of us as we walk with you. Lord, we pray that as people go from this place today, they will go built up and strengthened as we deal with these different areas of our lives. Lord, we give you every element of our being. We pray, Lord, if there's been conviction this morning, that it's a conviction unto good things, unto life and growth in you. Lord, we refuse to leave this place with any sense of condemnation this morning, but we leave with thanksgiving. because you're the God who does all things well, including in our very heart of hearts. Now, Lord, we love you, we worship you, and bless you. If you're here this morning and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you, let this be the day you do so. There'll be people here who will be honored to pray for you. Surrender to Jesus, who loves you so much. If you want to take time up front, you want someone to pray with, we'd be honored to pray with you. Above all, know that as you go this way, this day, and you make choices, surrender to the Lord, He's going to guide you right where He wants you to be. Are you happy about that?
Yes.
Amen. Raise your hands for the blessing if you would. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The scripture continues on, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Be released in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen.